morning, and welcome to worship at First Presbyterian Church. We are delighted that you are here, especially those visitors who are here for baptism today. What a treat to welcome your extended family into the church family on this day. I invite you to look at your bulletins. There are some announcements there to be reviewed and celebrated. Nobody happier than Fran Lewis that the organ is due to be installed in about 2 weeks, beginning on the 19th and taking about 4 days. That is indeed good news. I want to thank all the people who brought sweaters for the collection. A lot of people will be warmer now in February and March because of your generosity. And if you'd like to add peanut butter and jelly to the collections outside, I invite you to do so. Soup and sandwich is back in full swing as we seek to keep people fed during the winter months. At the close of the service, our young people will be taking up a collection for Super Bowl, another effort to fight hunger. I invite you to chip in as you feel led. I think of Trent as a scholarly and entirely music-oriented person, but you will see, as an anthem, he has subtly predicted the outcome of today's game in what he chose. I remind you that we are making a change. We are shifting from Wednesday night meals for fellowship to Sunday after worship, and next Sunday is the first of these, so I invite you to let your attendance be known. Call the church office and let them know that you'll be here and we can celebrate together. And I want to ask you, with Ash Wednesday not far away, not to give up pancakes for Lent, otherwise you will miss the event for Blue Ridge Elementary School, which is also listed there. Now, on the prayer list, front and center would be Will Scott, who has either the flu or tonsillitis or some menacing combination of each. He called me yesterday morning and asked if I would pinch hit for him, and so we need to remember Will. Also, Alice Inslee, who especially misses not being here for the baptism today. Alice had her appendix rupture. She was out of town and helping Emma move, and anyway, she's in the hospital now on heavy doses of antibiotic to ward off infection, but keep those two in your prayers. You see there the long list. Sandover's name is mentioned. We should probably pray for Mary, too, because with today's game, football season ends, and Mary will have to entertain him every Sunday afternoon. With anticipation, we can identify with Kim Epps. I have heard Greg's ads for buying a car for Valentine's Day so often that I cannot imagine what gift Kim will receive, but come the 14th, we will know. Are there other announcements to be made? Susan. Thank you, Susan, for the good work of the mission committee. Other announcements. In the traditions of the church, the passing of the peace was part of being in right relationship, especially on a day when we observe communion. Later on, we'll confess our sins and receive God's forgiveness, but to be sure that we're on good terms with each other, we pass the peace now. And so I say, the peace of Christ be with you. Make your neighbors feel welcome.
Please stand for the call to worship. Let all who thirst,
come to the water.
Let all who seek,
come to the water.
Let all who work,
come to the water.
Let all who are weary,
come to the water.
Let all who carry burdens,
come to the water.
Let all who desire God. Jesus said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me.
And let the one who believes in me drink."
And let us pray. God of love, you are the wellspring of life. Pour into our hearts the living water of your grace, that we may be refreshed, worship this day in joy, confident of your presence and empowered by your peace. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Let us pray. And together, God of grace, love, and friendship, we confess that we have failed to love you with all our heart, soul, and mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We ignore your teaching, step aside from your way, and follow idols of our own making. Have mercy on us, Lord. Forgive our sin and turn us toward you. Remake us into your disciples, that we may serve with joy, pray in peace, and worship with our lives. We ask this through Jesus our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Come forward now to be part of the baptism. Come and find your place on these steps. Very good, very good. With the congregation gathered, we're going to read a few words that tell us something about baptism. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember that I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hear also these words from Holy Scripture. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and confident of his promises, we baptize those whom God has called. In baptism, God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and resurrection. By water and by God's Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, the body of Christ, and joined to Christ's ministry of love, peace, and justice. Let us remember the joy of our own baptisms as we celebrate this sacrament.
On behalf of the session of First Presbyterian Church, I present Lida Mae Douglas, daughter of John and Lily Douglas, for baptism.
Relying on God's grace, you promise to live the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your child, do you?
We do.
Trusting in the gracious mercy of God, do you turn from the ways of sin and renounce evil and its power in the world, do you?
We do.
Do you turn to Jesus Christ, reaffirm your faith in him as Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love, do you? Will you be Christ's faithful disciple, obeying his word and showing his love? Will you?
We will.
Do we, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to guide and nurture Lida by word and deed, with love and prayer, encourage her to know and follow Christ and to be faithful members of his church? Do we?
And now I ask this question of you because you're nearest in age to Lida. You promise to be a friend to her. Will you help her to learn about the church and about Jesus and the stories of his life? And will you help her to feel part of our church family? Will you?
We will.
Good. We will. Yes, indeed.
If you will. Uh-huh.
Let us pray. Holy God, since the beginning, water has stood for life. We remember the great story of creation and how out of the chaos you separated water from dry land. We remember the rivers that flowed through the Garden of Eden for our first parents. We remember the flood and how it carried Noah and his family to safety. We remember how Abraham found springs in the desert and how the Jordan River played such an important part in the life of Old Testament characters and new. We remember Jesus going to see John the Baptist for his own baptism and are reminded of his command for us to baptize, to make children of God by God's own grace. So we pray that you will set apart this water from a common to a sacred purpose, and ratify in heaven what we observe here following Christ's command. Amen. What is the Christian name of this cute child?
Lida Mae Douglas.
Lida Mae. Lida Mae Douglas, child of God's covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. May God bless and keep you now and forever. Amen. It is our tradition that we walk our newest member out to meet the congregation. So I invite the family to take their seats and the children to be led out to their worship while I bring Lida Mae out to meet the congregation. Let us stand and affirm the faith into which Lida Mae has been baptized. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, Chapter 40. Listen for God's word. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even youth will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of the Lord.
"Remember your hat and gloves," she said, as if I might have forgotten them. With some sense of satisfaction, I arrived at the car when the door opened and she, holding my cell phone, said, "You forgot this." And when I went to retrieve it, she said, "And remember to go by the church." I started the car and then looked at the gauge and remembered that I needed to get some gas. While I was there, I was not far from the drugstore. I should probably get my meds. Pumping the gas, I remembered back to my days in the Navy when gasoline was about 25 cents a gallon and when I didn't take any meds at all. And I remember the days before credit cards, the days before we even had zip codes. We have two cars in our family. I can never remember which one releases the brake with your foot or with your hand. I turned right on Walnut and remembered when Walnut Avenue was two lanes, past the bank where my father worked for 45 years, remembering the sweep of time and relationships and points of reference. Will called me yesterday morning to say that he was feeling no better, and could I substitute for him? So I came to the church and got a bulletin to see the general direction in which we were going to go. And it seemed to me, with little time to prepare, that the bulletin invited a time of remembrance. Let me read just the last of Mark's scripture passage here, because Will no doubt use this on another day, but it will serve our purposes to begin here. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed, and Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do. And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This too is the word of the Lord. Going out to be by oneself and praying. We all need to do that, and we do it naturally sometimes. High school students trying to decide where they might go to school or what job they might take first. People in midlife trying to decide whether the current job is satisfying enough to see them through another 20 years. We all need to take time, as our session did recently, to retreat and to talk to God individually, corporately, to be sure we are going about what God purposes for us to do. We need to remember. And the first passage which Jim read, the passage from Isaiah about mounting up with wings like eagles and running and walking without fainting. I remember when we read that passage, a good friend of mine, Kelly McCutcheon, I can picture us as boys in the church that was across the street. And he, a good athlete and student, going to the Naval Academy and graduating, serving in swift boats in Vietnam and on carriers and with the nation's finest weapons. And then he, because of his genes, contracting muscular dystrophy and beginning to decline to the point where he lived out this passage, having soared on wings like eagles and run so brilliantly, he was reduced merely to walking, but he did not faint, never, not ever. And when I read this passage, I remember not only him, but all those who, having read the word, live it out. Lida's baptism, and she, so cute, and we remembering now Jesus and John the Baptist, and perhaps our own baptisms, maybe as a Baptist or in some other tradition you were immersed, or maybe your family when you're old enough brings out pictures of you when you were baptized, perhaps in a little gown that belonged to the family over generations, or maybe you were older, maybe only now are you ready to be baptized. But we pick up and we observe, we act out that ritual which we have done for thousands of years as a way of embracing people to God and the church family. The little ones who come forward can't understand that fully, but they get a sense of how important it is. A mother is minding her children one day when one of them walks by with the family pet. "Where are you going?" the mother inquires. "We're going to baptize the cat." Well, the mother is curious, but she doesn't intervene. Rather, she stands at the window and watches as they go outside, a group of little children, her own and neighbors. There is a puddle in the yard. And having listened to baptisms like this, they got it almost right. She heard the oldest of the children say, "In the name of the Father and of the Son and in the hole you go. It is a historic rite, and we remember in the words, child of the covenant, God's child. And when we celebrate communion, we will remember Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. And the thief on the cross pled, remember me when you come into your kingdom. The great Thanksgiving, a traditional part of communion, gives us the context of it all, the history of God with God's people. And perhaps you remember your first communion, waiting excitedly, perhaps wearing white, joining the family in a new and powerful way. Yes, the bulletin and the service itself seems to say to me, you are invited to remember. And of course, in the lessons we hear on Sunday morning, we are invited to remember and to obey. The Ten Commandments tells us to remember the Sabbath day and not to lie, cheat, or steal. All those best practices that we know make not only us better, but the world around us more reliable. We have a time of confession when we are forced or invited to remember our own sins and to ask God forgiveness. And we hear in some form God's reassurance, I will remember your sins no more. Even in the announcements in the bulletin, we are reminded of the importance of remembering. A friend of this church, sober now 11 years, goes every week, several days, to AA meetings. He, who remembers the time when he was trapped in addiction, now sponsors four others, exactly the way that remembering ought to empower us to help. And the prayer list, we call to remember those who celebrate or mourn or who need healing or help or hope. The Apostles' Creed, whereby we stand and confess what it is that we believe, and in confessing are reminded, and the Lord's Prayer. When my sister Rosemary was very sick, brain tumor, we watched with her over the 11 months, and then we were called to Delaware knowing that the end was near. And we sat around her bed those last days. There were more nurses than usual because we knew it might be a matter of hours. And the day grew long, and some would go to bed and others would promise to wake us. And what to say, she had not spoken in hours. But some voice in the room, I don't remember who, began by saying, Our Father. And she, silent all that time, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Because somewhere inside her, perhaps beginning with her baptism and lasting throughout her life, she knew she had been claimed a child of a covenant that never ends. In fact, church worship itself is about remembering. Now, remembering can be that activity in our minds when we think again about something, but it's also a matter of remembering, of being members again. Let me say to each of you who are regulars, it makes a difference to me that you are here, that we are members of something together, and God makes us greater when we are together than we could be individually out there. He was a typical teenage boy, a good one. Grew up in a small town. Two parents he was lucky enough to have, and they tried their best to teach him how to be. They went to church, not every Sunday, but they went to church. And he was a good student and had the opportunity to go off to the city where there were all of those temptations. Now, when he was packed up and ready to go, his mother might have read a long laundry list of things to avoid, but she didn't. She walked him out to the car. he got in and closed the door, but she, through the window, looked him in the eyes and said, not sadly, but resolutely, "You just remember who you are. Remember," that's what she said. That was all she said and all she had to say. And so I say to all of us, remember. Please be seated. And as we remember God's generosity to us, we return to God our tithes and offerings.
From them you raised up Jesus, your Son, the living bread, in whom ancient hungers are satisfied. He healed the sick, though he himself would suffer. He offered life to sinners, though death would hunt him down. But with a love stronger than death, he opened wide his arms and surrendered his spirit. Eternal God, let your hope
Remember who you are. That was all she said, and all she needed to say. Go into the world now, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you.